we've had off air, we've had a rare down round disagreement
normally Raph and I are a hive mind.
Yeah.
We agree 100% on every single issue, but we've run aground on this particular one.
Yes.
I had to buy a hard drive.
Yeah, it was a capital expenditure for the organization.
Yeah, exactly. So a little bit of CapEx to help grow the down round brand.
And he bought a spinning disc. Well, external.
I need to buy a hard drive for us to record video straight onto via the system here in the studio.
Mm.
And I got a Lassie Rugged.
Which I think is... No, I approve of Lassie Rugged. I think that is the go-to, right?
No, I just needed to...
The orange ones with the bit of padding around it.
I'm coming straight out the gate with this because I want the listener to be on my side. They'll be like, oh, Lassie Rugged. Beautiful drives.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Orange padding.
We spoke about it. We're like, yeah, that's the one to get, you know, the good ones. But I assumed you would get the SSD, the solid state version.
In the interest of saving a few dollars, I got a 2 terabyte hard disk drive because it's a modern drive, you know, 800 megabytes a second transfer, USB 3. I thought that would be totally fine. But then we arrive here and someone here at the studio informed that occasionally they have issues with recording the multiple video output straight onto the drive because of the transfer speed.
I didn't know that spinning disk externals still existed, honestly.
Okay, so if you ever want to know which of the Down Around hosts understands the common man, the guy that thinks that there's no such thing as a hard disk drive anymore, maybe you can strike him out.
I'm just saying that an HDD is going to depreciate much faster than an SDD. So as far as the balance sheet is concerned, it's going to be tough when we talk to finance to justify this purchase.
I reckon the CFO will be on side with me. Because the CFO is me, no one auditing the books. Speaking of auditing the books.
Yes, folks, finally, the books were opened up for Reddit.
Reddit is going public.
Reddit
is going through an IPO. Which I can't remember if we've talked about this a bit. Well, we did a little bit because...
We did a Reddit episode.
I think we did a couple of Reddit episodes. The most recent one being we talked about the Reddit blackout when all the mods decided they were going to shut up shop, lock down because Reddit had thrown up the wall on its API.
Yeah, I know, which is, again, let's reiterate, an insane reason to have a mod revolt, but... You know, I guess mod revolts are typically not for sane reasons. Let's be honest.
No, well, you know,
explain a mod revolt.
I support mod revolts no matter what. I think it's really funny and good when mods get up and go all ooh-ah about something. It's the same way, like, I will support the Maritime Union anytime they strike down at the docks. I don't care what it's about.
I align with that, yeah. You know, yeah, MUA here to stay. Reddit mods, like, off we go.
The Wharfies can strike about not having enough, like, toilet soap. And I'll be like, hell yeah, brother. Get down there, get your placards out, and march down at the docks. Same with Reddit mods. If they want to fire up because, I don't know.
Solidarity is solidarity, is what you're saying.
Solidarity forever. You must support them no matter what they do. Anyway, so we talked about that last time because, yes, Reddit had thrown up the wall on its API and also had not banned third-party apps but made them essentially so expensive that many of them could no longer...
Sure. I mean, they had to pay Reddit.
It made them less profitable.
They had to make a business model that... actually had some expenses outside of like their own Google hosting or whatever.
Totally. Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. But it was very clear that that was happening in preparation for the Reddit IPO, Reddit going public, which has been foretold for a very long time.
Very quickly, what is going public? Private companies, obviously, your private company is your local hairdresser or whatever. Going public means you can buy shares in it. You have to open your books. There's a lot more scrutiny and a lot more rules and regulations about what you have to report to people who can buy shares in your company. So it's interesting when a company goes public because you finally get to actually audit their books. They have to reveal how they make money, where they make money from, what are their key risks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
how much do they pay their CEO? How much do they pay the board? All of that kind of stuff.
Is thrown open.
So for pundits like us... We love it.
We love putting our nose in the trough and wallowing in filth, finding out what's going on. But yes, no, sorry. So Reddit, they were initially supposed to go public a few years ago, and there was lots of buzz about it.
To the point where insiders have told us basically everyone who worked at Reddit was all brought over to San Fran for a huge party. But like for whatever reason, the IPO was pulled. The IPO, the initial public offering, when you initially offer your shares to the public, was pulled. And so there was just like...
a random party.
A random...
So everyone was, I think it was in New York, actually. Everyone from all over Reddit globally was in New York for this party. And everyone was like, what is this party about? And it was very clearly for the IPO, which didn't happen, got pulled. When that IPO was originally in the air, Reddit's expected valuation was about $10 billion. Mm. That was like the height of the tech market.
Mm.
And, you know, there are still a lot of people that are kind of like, Reddit should have gone public then because they would have... gone public with a $10 billion valuation, it would have been huge, it would have been amazing. Their current valuation that's being bandied about right now is what's being expected from this IPO process is about $5 billion, so half of that. I think if they had gone public back in 2021 or whenever it was, at the peak of the market, they would have been in for a very nasty surprise once the tech markets collapsed.
Yeah.
And they probably would have gone through a very rough time of readjusting to their new normal, very difficult for them to raise capital, blah, blah, blah. And the story looks bad.
Yeah.
If you go public at $10 billion, then a few months later, your company is worth $5 billion or less, it looks bad no matter what is actually happening objectively with your company.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're actually doing it this time. They've filed an S-1, which is what you just described, opens up the books and describes everything about the going public process for the benefit of US regulators and also for prospective investors to find out.
Like you or I. And like, by you, I'm talking to you, the listener.
Talking to you, the listener.
I should interrupt. I've been meaning to say this. Obviously, nothing we say is financial advice. I need to make that very clear.
I agree. There's no financial advice or legal advice.
None of that.
Personal advice, relationship advice. We don't offer any of that.
No advice. Do not buy or sell or don't do anything based on anything we say.
Yep.
Okay. Continue.
Fun stuff resumes. So Raf and I sat down and we had a look at the Reddit S-1.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long document, but if you're interested in not just Reddit, but also kind of like social media and like internet businesses, it's a really interesting document.
Yeah.
Because it outlines the way that Reddit sort of thinks about itself, its opportunities and its big risks.
Mm-hmm.
And the risks are a big line. As someone pointed out online, Reddit's risks section in its S-1 is about twice as long as Facebook's and Uber's combined.
It's long.
It's at least
55 pages if you don't include the summaries.
There's a lot of risk that they've outlined for the Reddit business.
Mm.
And keeping in mind, you know, Uber objective, if you think about Uber for 5 seconds, you can think about 5 million risks.
Yeah.
It's a riskier business, Reddit,
yeah,
than even that. But it also talks a little bit about the money, like the hard numbers that we've only been able to guess at in the past.
Mm.
So I guess we'll start there.
Headline. So obviously they haven't made money.
They've never made money.
No, they've never made a profit.
Reddit has been a money-losing business since day dot. And some of you might be going, well, Amazon was a money-losing business for a very long time. Mm. Uber was a money-losing business till quite recently. Reddit is not a hot startup.
No.
Reddit is 18 years old.
I think this is a key point. Like, this is like really key to this, is that this is like an 18-year-old business. Like this is
like if Reddit was an Australian person, it could get on the piss legally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, in many countries it'll be allowed to have sex. Thankfully not here. 30.
30 is the line in Australia.
In
yeah.
Australia, you're not allowed to have sex until you're 30, thankfully. It hasn't made money. That that is somewhat typical of early stage or even like kind of middle stage companies. Reddit does have a kind of storied history. We're not going to go through it because we've already outlined it in our Reddit episode where it was kind of bought and sold by a bunch of companies.
It's bounced around a bit. It's gone through leadership changes.
I mean, it's still majority owned by a magazine publisher, basically.
Yeah, the owner of Condé Nast is still the majority shareholder of Reddit.
Yeah, so like that may have kind of changed things up. But the fact of the matter is it's going public having – and I should say they opened their books, but they've opened the last 2 years of their books. We only know what they made this year versus last year. And they're doing better this year than they did last year.
Yeah.
You know, there's growth.
So
two years ago, what they lost, about $280 million. This year, they lost something like $100 million or just under $100 million. And so they're showing kind of revenues up, profits up, in that they're still negative, but like they're not losing as much money. So they're attempting to paint this narrative of growth. We don't know what they were like in 2021.
Their net loss, we don't know the long-term thing, apart from the fact they've never been profitable. They did outline that. Because one of the key risks they outlined was, we have never made money before. and that may well not change. And they're very explicit about that. But yeah, their net loss in 2022 was $158 million compared to $90 million now. So they are cutting into their losses.
Mm.
You know, they're not making as much. And losing $90 million a year, for a company that's of its scale and size and the sort of business that it's in, technology, it's not like a death sentence.
No, it's not a huge amount of money.
You know, if you were a news agent, you're losing $90 million a year, you might have some issues. But this is not an unresolvable problem.
Reddit has raised billions of dollars over its...
That's right. And also keeping in mind, and this is kind of the negative side of that, there is so many more tacks that Reddit can turn to make the service shittier but more profitable that they haven't pulled out of their hat yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about that. So how are they going to make money? Because this basically makes up most of the upside, I suppose you could call it, of the S1. Is like, we have all of these different paths to make money. And, I mean, I hated reading the summary prospectus in that it was worded quite casually. It was quite casually written, I would say. But, you know, it's bandied about things like online advertising is a $2.5 trillion market.
We see
our position in that growing. And it's just like, okay, sure. Like, anyone can say that, right? Like, there's trillions of dollars spent on online advertising and we are a player and we would like to earn more of that. Okay, great.
You've been around
for a long time. And
It's like when you read like a pitch deck from a startup where they're like, the global software business is $20 trillion.
Yeah. If we could get just 1% of the global software market, you do the math.
We're looking pretty good. Yeah, there's a bit of that vibe.
But more interesting is kind of where they see other, you know, there's a lot of kind of gesticulations to other monetization. Because, yeah, as you say, like the fact that they get 98% of their revenue from advertising, the fact that that is the case means that like to turn up the revenue dial on advertising, we all know what that means. It's the Google front page. It's cram as much ads in wherever you can.
Yeah, because the current Reddit ad experience is pretty light.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't see many ads on Reddit. And yes, the load has increased a bit over the past few years.
Because I feel like it's only really been the last 12 months that like the top story or article or whatever is an ad.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's relatively recent.
Yeah, that's definitely more recent than not. They've been increasing that load. Yes, now you will notice if you're using official Reddit platforms, which many people are, if you're scrolling through like the comment section of Reddit, there's a few more read more sections so they can serve you more ads in between.
Mm.
So they're getting a little bit more aggressive about it, but still as compared to like Instagram or Facebook or like definitely X, Twitter, the ad load is pretty light.
Yeah.
And the quality of ads is pretty poor.
Well, and part of that I think has to do with the actual ad platform itself.
It's bad.
Yeah. You basically have to do a Reddit post is your ad. You do have auto-playing videos on the mobile app, but for the most part, you're not getting kind of full page auto-playing ads, unskippable ads. There's no unskippable ads. Like
there's none of that.
It's pretty primitive as far as like an advertising
platform. And their self-serve platform as compared to something like Meta's is pretty primitive as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in Meta, you can be anyone. You could just log into the Facebook ad platform or the Instagram ad platform, do some insanely detailed targeting
opposite. You do no detail at all.
And just be like, figure it out for me.
Do it and it will.
It'll do. It'll figure it out.
And then Meta, like Advantage Plus, I think it's called, is you don't pick any interests whatsoever.
It just figures it all out for you.
Yeah. Like it's just like, let us run for a few days and we'll handle this.
Very sophisticated app platform. Google's also very sophisticated. Yeah. Reddit's
Google's is called Performance Max. Same thing, basically. Yeah. It's just like, we'll sort this out.
We'll sort it out for you. Reddit doesn't really have anything like that.
No.
It's got a pretty primitive self-serve platform. Again, it's one of those things where it's like, you've been in business for 18 years. You've been in business for as long as, if not longer than Facebook has.
Yeah.
You should have been on top of this. But at the same time, Reddit has always been a very different beast. To something like Facebook.
I think that's the overarching thing here. Maybe we should address it now before we continue. Is like, the culture of Reddit was never a Facebook. Like, Facebook is run by Zuckerberg from day one till now. And he is a beast at just like, number go up.
Number must go up.
Number.
More users, more money, more everything.
Yeah. More everything. Whatever the number is, the target number is, it must go up at all costs. Google, as we've discussed, stumbled on possibly the best business ever.
Yeah.
At least for that time period.
Yeah, PageRank ads, it's a match made in heaven.
Yes.
Reddit has always been, you know, like, I'd say,
we must,
community.
Yeah,
where like,
exactly.
We are our user base.
Yeah.
Like if I said to you,
Reddit is about Redditors.
Yeah, that's right. If I said to you, describe the average Facebook user, you might say, an old guy.
Yes.
An old racist man.
Yeah, that's basically who types with two fingers.
Two fingers. But again,
it on a desktop. I would. That's.
But even if I asked you the same question 5 years ago, you'd be like, very hard for me to articulate that.
It could be anything.
It could be literally anyone.
Like a surfy guy in Oakley's. Or an Estonian. Just that's because that's a whole thing.
That's a whole category, Estonian. But even now, if you said describe an Instagram user, you'd be hard pressed because it's basically everyone. It cuts across a huge demographic. But if I said to you, describe a Redditor.
Ah, the Redditor.
What would you say?
I would say an epic bacon neckbeard.
I would say like a 35-year-old man.
Yes.
Who likes video games. There you go.
Right?
I mean, like, yes, they have expanded beyond that over the years, but Reddit and the Reddit community is a discrete thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's gotten bigger and it's gotten a bit more amorphous, but...
Well, I mean, it still has its own, parlance, right? Like, it still kind of has its own memes and... Instagram and Facebook don't... TikTok does to a certain extent, but, like, Reddit has its own kind of way of speaking internal memes, self-referential kind of stuff.
It has kind of, like, apart from in certain subreddits, it has its own kind of political persuasion. You would think, like, a kind of technologically literate sort of centre-left type individual. Again, there's some subreddits that violate that narrative. But for the most part, you kind of know who the average Redditor is.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a little bit different to having an everything app, which is Facebook's ad platform, because it can talk to everyone across Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, all these different platforms, and where you can literally target anyone in the world.
Mm.
If I wanted to sell a product to like a Brazilian taxi driver,
yeah,
I could literally do that. But it's a harder sell on Reddit where they have a more niche audience. But... And as we'll kind of get into, potentially a more passionate audience who sticks around the platform and cares about the platform in a way that your average Facebook user probably doesn't care about Facebook.
But interestingly, and now we can kind of move probably onto the S1 more, but like that, what you just described is kind of vaguely alluded to in Risks. But for the most part, the S1 talks about its like daily active uniques. And it doesn't discriminate against logged in users who post 100 times a day and have 9 million Reddit karma and someone who is just like looking for advice on like how to change a friggin' door lock or whatever, who goes to Reddit because that's the top rank on Google search.
Yeah, and we've talked about this on Down Round before, is that Reddit has gone from being a bit of a punchline online where it's for the reason we were just talking about, where it's like, you know, Reddit
to whom the narwhal bacons or whatever.
Exactly. And has become like, oh, actually, it's one of the only remaining quality sources on Google. As everything else has become like AI bullshit or SEO crap, if you search for dishwasher recommendations Reddit, you'll probably land on some subreddit where at the very least you have actual human beings who have used a certain washing machine and can recommend it to you. Like certain subreddits have a wealth of incredible knowledge.
Yes. Much like Whirlpool forums. Shout outs again.
The Whirlpool forums? Bless up. Some of the worst people alive.
But they have a data set that is actually readily...
But they know about Australian ISPs.
Yeah, and exactly. And I genuinely think that they could probably extract some value from someone trying to build an LLM. So if you're the admin of Whirlpool Forums...
You need to be selling to OpenAI.
There is someone within our country who owns and is an admin of Whirlpool.
Imagine seeing the headline like OpenAI strikes content deal with Whirlpool.com.au, $150 million. And then Sam Altman's like, this is the most pristine data set.
Yeah, there was a bidding war.
We've ever seen. Anyway, so like I said, Reddit remains one of the only, like, regardless of what quality you want to give it, of real human beings communicating.
Yeah.
Not polluted by bots. Like, it's very rare that you will see a Reddit comment thread that's just stuffed to the gills with like
weird GPT bots. Yeah.
It just doesn't happen like it does anywhere else.
And part of that is the fact that it's like moderated by humans though, right?
Yeah.
Because the community is moderated by humans.
It's got, if you listen to our Wikipedia episode, it's got that same energy. Like if you give human beings their own little fiefdom where they can actually...
And that's all, for the record.
No money. And this was specified in the S1. We do not pay moderators.
Mm.
They do it for their own sick reasons. But like you give people a fiefdom and a bit of power, that is actually a very powerful thing. As we talked about in our Wikipedia episode with Richard Cook, like you give people an inch of power and they will leverage it.
Mm.
And this is like one of the secrets of what makes Reddit tick. There was actually, you know, like the most famous example of this is, I think we talked about that last episode, but like Ask Historians, which is like a huge subreddit, many, many millions of users, where it's literally just regular people asking like, oh, did the ancient Egyptians drink beer? And then every single comment is like, this comment was deleted, this comment was deleted. Because if you give something that's not absolutely phenomenally referenced, the admins will just destroy you. And that kind of thing doesn't exist anywhere else online except in like old school internet forums. Because like Reddit is the inheritor of forums culture.
This is the thing. The reason why they're shit at monetizing and they've been around 18 years and they're not, like, it doesn't really look like, I'm going to be perfectly frank here, not financial advice. It doesn't really look like a public investable business.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
To me,
yep.
Personally, opinion, is for that reason. It's like an old school internet forum.
Yep.
Basically.
Or many stitched together.
And many stitched. Yeah. It's got that old school vibe where it's like they were never intending this to be a business. They literally did care about, their focus was on community. And yeah, as it says in the S1, big, big risk over, we can't guarantee A, people are going to keep posting, or B, our moderators are going to keep moderating because we don't pay them.
We don't pay them. They're doing it for the love of the game. And the sort of subtext that runs through the entire risk section is like, everyone that posts on Reddit is a bit weird and we can't really anticipate what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They may leave en masse. They just staged an enormous fucking mod revolt.
Around API pricing.
API access. And like, so there were just a huge parts of our site were just not accessible for reasons not related to us or our server hosting or anything. Like that kind of stuff would set off alarm bells. One of the funny things that pops up in the S1 a lot, you do a command F or a control F and search for Wall Street Bets, and it has a lot of mentions in the S1. And it's understandable why. I think this speaks to the whole Reddit conundrum in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's clear why they would do it, because the Wall Street Bets subreddit, and if you've been living under a rock, you don't know, it's like the investing subreddit. Mm. Very, very unique, singular culture on there. There was a point during the whole GameStop
Bed
mania.
Bath, Neon, and, but yeah, GameStop.
Yeah, yeah, like they
moved markets.
They moved markets. The biggest story in the world at that time was the GameStop stock mooning. Was all happening on Reddit. Yes, there was some stuff on Twitter, but like the heart of it was Wall Street Bets.
Yeah, yeah.
And they repeatedly talk about, we are a place where culture happens.
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to speak to the investor, right? Like they're trying to sell Reddit to the investor, being like, remember that GameStop insanity? We did that.
We did that. But it's also a document that's for the benefit of the SEC.
Yeah.
And it's literally like, remember when our users did illegal market manipulation on our platform and we did nothing about it? And like, if you go to Wall Street Bets right now and read all the threads they have about the Reddit IPO, they're not up on it.
Oh, yeah. They are.
They think it's a dog shit stock.
I think, quote unquote, they think it's, quote, gay.
Investing in Reddit is gay, according to Wall Street Bets, who I will remind you, Reddit is pointing out as an exemplar of their influence on the world.
Well, and they kind of give a nod and a wink because, like, in the risk section, they're like, users of our platform could get basically exceptionally horny for the Reddit stock and create volatility. Like, it could go super viral because our community is so passionate.
Yeah, there was definitely a wink to that. It was like, hey, we're not going to say it explicitly because it's illegal. But the freaks in Wall Street Bets would go nuts about Reddit, send it to the moon, and you, the person reading this, could become rich.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. This could 100x in days for no reason.
Yeah. Based on what I'm seeing in Wall Street Bets, unlikely. But, you know, we'll see. Anyway, so like they talk about this quite a lot. They also talk about they're doing a incentive program where they're going to sell a bunch of the initial stock as part of the IPO directly to high karma
individuals,
to moderators of their Reddits, and also on a tiered basis to people based on their Reddit karma.
Yeah.
Don't know what Reddit karma is. You get upvotes and downvotes for your posts and comments. Every time you get an upvote, you get a point on your ledger. Every downvote, you lose a point. If you're posting a lot and people love your content or your comments, you can be getting, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions.
Yeah, and
of
if you've
karma.
Been on Reddit for 15, I mean, I think the top tier, they literally, like, if you have 9 million karma or above, which imagine that being a badge of honor.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of content farms and stuff on on Reddit who just like post to get karma. But anyway.
Yeah, which is a weird thing, right? Because that is like, and people did, especially when the API was free, like make kind of bots and like people like repost posts that were like massive in other subreddits or posts that were massive in that same subreddit to generate karma. I assume that there must be some play there where like that user then posts like links to websites for weird SEO something.
There's definitely like a game there. If you have like a highly valued Reddit account, you can then sell it or whatever. But I don't think it's quite as clear cut as if you have like a super trafficked Twitter account.
Yeah,
it's
it doesn't seem as valuable.
And some people definitely do it for the glory. Like
they just want to see number go up.
So they want to see number go up and be known as like a Redditor of note. But anyway, but now this is the upside. You get involved in like a directed stock release program, which is in the S1.
To explain how this happens, like there are a group of people, typically it's like investment banks, high net worth individuals, institutions and funds who can initially buy the stock directly from the company, which is then like released on the open market. So what you're basically hoping is Reddit sets their IPO price at whatever, $1 a share. You can buy 1 million of those shares. It means that the risk is off for Reddit because like there are actually going to be people who they know are going to buy most of their stock on in that first minute. And you're hoping that either you're going to hold on, you're an institution, and you're like, yep, I actually think this is great value for this organization because I can see in 5 years we're going to get tremendous value. Or you're hoping for a quote-unquote day one pop and just like immediately sell it because it goes up 10% above that price on day release. And so basically as a high karma individual, you get access to that initial price that you're hoping is artificially low because the market hasn't actually decided what the price of Reddit is.
Yeah, and it's like in terms of why they're actually, apart from what you just described, why they're doing it for their users.
It's not normal. This, for the record, this is actually kind of unique.
It is abnormal to be giving it to like not just preferred investors or whatever, but you know, users who may not be sophisticated investors. They're just people who like your platform. The idea is like, A, it's marketing to be like, we're very community focused.
Yeah.
But also there's a question of alignment. The idea that if you get enough stock to people who are Reddit users and want to keep the community chugging along, it aligns your incentives with the incentives of the company. So the moderators kind of want Reddit to succeed. So they're going to hopefully manage their communities better or make them more vibrant or whatever. Mm. And also, like, again, your high-power users want Reddit to succeed, so they'll keep posting and won't defect to some other platform. But, again, it kind of comes down to, because it's redacted from the actual S1, what the allocation is. I would imagine it's pretty low.
Yeah.
Like, there's only going to be a small percentage of stock that's issued this way. But, again, kind of a unique way of doing it. But, yes, Sam Altman. We may as well just talk about that before we get into it. Sam Altman is a regular topic of discussion on DownRam because of his stuff with OpenAI. But he is one of the single biggest shareholders of Reddit.
Yeah, third biggest and probably single biggest individual because there's, like Advanced Publications or whatever the magazine, Condé Nast, you know, is the number one. Then ByteDance, number two, Sam Altman, number three.
Yep.
At something like 8.5 or 9% of ownership.
He's estimated that he's going to make probably about $500 million from the Reddit IPO was the figure that was being bandied around because he was heavily involved with Y Combinator back in the early days of Reddit and was an advisor for the company and was also CEO for like 9 days during a transitional period. Again, Sam Altman, one of the most important guys in Silicon Valley right now, has his fingers all through the Reddit pie as well.
Yeah, very interesting and weird. It's a weird little thing.
Yeah, totally.
He is everywhere at the moment. Like you've got to hand it to him. He is everywhere. This bloke, he knows how to get a headline. I mean, I think that it's like, as you say, like Reddit is obviously an important platform. A lot of stuff happens there. A lot of discussion happens there. It gets shitloads of hits. It's never been able to monetize primarily, you know, it never really wanted to monetize and didn't really even have that culture. So I guess like, again, you got to hand it to him. He understood that. He recognizes that this is like an important platform. And even though its value presumably wasn't, it's hard to put a value on something like that. Staying close to it, throwing money at it, especially when its valuation is low, made sense. You know, there he is. Because people are saying like, oh, yes, because he understood that the importance of like the community to training LLMs and stuff. I don't buy that you know, 10 years ago, Sam Altman was thinking like this would be fantastic for training LLMs before transformer models were around, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't buy that.
Yeah, and also it's interesting that Reddit has struck a LLM content deal with Google and not with OpenAI.
Yeah, which leads us perfectly to like the other monetization areas for that Reddit outlined in the S1. One that, yeah, we've spoken about and is a big one is, yeah, this idea that... So they shut down their API. We did the...
Episode about that.
Yeah, we did an episode about that. And at the time we said... Literally, it was for this reason, like LLMs are scraping their data for free when they should be able to monetize that.
And plus the fact that there are third-party apps that a lot of people use, which Reddit was not getting upside from. Like if you were using Apollo, which is a very popular Reddit app and was objectively better than the main Reddit app, you would not be seeing all their ad units.
Yeah. So anyway, they shut down the API and, you know, came out recently. Google's paying them. I think the agreement, it seems, is about $60 million a year in order to scrape basically every post on Reddit in order to train their large language models, Gemini in this case, which, you know, sure, that's like a revenue stream, but realistically, you know, unless they get them all on board and are able to jack the price, you know, $60 million a year
is not huge.
It's a drop in the bucket, really. It's not a sustainable business model.
And also keeping in mind that like the entire content library, if you want to call it that, which is like every thread, image, comment, whatever, is from 2020, whatever, backwards.
Yeah,
it's out
2005.
There.
Yeah, that's already been scraped. Because the API was free less than a year ago.
It was scraped. It's in GPT-4. It's in Claude. It's in all these libraries. If they sell access now, it's going forward.
Yeah. Which don't get me wrong, I think that will be a thing. Like if you're using AI, like a large language model to replace search, like Perplexity or whatever, you do want to have access to the conversation. The same thing with like X and Grok or whatever. The idea is the competitive advantage is like our real-time search can retrain on whatever the conversation is happening right now. It actually can't because it takes these things about 2 months apparently. Like Elon said about Grok that every time that they... retrain it takes around 2 months, so they just have to use a search API and blah blah blah. But point being, Grok has access to be able to search through Twitter for keywords and then summarize what people on X are saying about white genocide or whatever it is. So this same is true of Reddit. Like, so Google will be able to in real time search through Reddit's API and summarize whatever the conversation is about a certain topic on Reddit, which, you know, has some kind of value.
Yeah. No, I agree. Although I do wonder, because another thing that's come up recently as part of that broader conversation about why is GPT-4 so much better than everything else, even though GPT-4 has been out for a year and had been trained even earlier than that, but still outperforms most other LLMs. One theory is that it had a pristine data set before everything was kind of polluted with the output of other LLMs. So it's like we said before that Reddit is actually seems to be a mostly a human community. I mean, every time you see a bot on Reddit, it's one of those like remind me bots or like weird like grammar correction ones that have been on there forever.
Yeah, that are so annoying.
That are very annoying, but they're not the same as like GPT stuff appearing in random comments like, oh, hello.
But again, it's because a human moderator hasn't just been like, be gone.
Yeah.
That's how they talk as well.
So it's a forward bet on, if you're thinking about whether to invest in Reddit or whatever, you would be thinking, is Reddit's content actually going to be valuable for this stuff 5 years, 10 years in the future?
Yeah. And I would say on that, the broader question above that though is like, okay, if Reddit is getting heaps of their traffic from Google Organic Search, which it is, right? People are just searching for random things and there's a conversation on Reddit about that, as we said, which is more, even people who aren't entering, you know, like best electric screwdriver
Reddit. It's usually the first, like a whole bunch of Reddit threads and normally the first result you get or maybe the second or third.
Yeah, because it ticks the boxes of Google, which is it hits all the keywords. People navigate to that site. They read through the comments, spend some time on there and then go back to Google and it signals to Google like, oh, it answered their question. So Reddit's typically, so it's high authority page. It's regularly at the top. But in a world where it's not a 10 billion links, where your search engine isn't Google, and like to be fair, it's still debatable whether that world will happen. I think my personal opinion is that we will leave this world behind currently. Like, is the best way to organize information
10 blue links
well, to a bunch of random fucking websites that are trying to optimize for whatever the algorithm is of the day, or just get the answer given to you or get the suggestion given to you?
Yep.
I would say it's the latter. Does Reddit still have value? Like, are people still actually going to Reddit other than like the passionate kind of community?
Yeah. Because one other thing they talk about quite a bit in the S1 is the fact that people who arrive on Reddit via Google don't stick around.
Mm.
Like, these people are exactly the user behavior we just outlined. They search a question, either they search it explicitly with Reddit or they don't. They get Reddit threads as an answer. You know, you might be asking a technical question like, why is my Windows PC doing this? And the first results, Reddit, you click on the thread, you find out what people talked about. You go, that's amazing. You get out of there. You don't stick around to read comments or then go to like r/watch people die and see some industrial accidents in Pakistan. You know?
Well, this is the whole thing. The whole S1 is we've got a bunch of traffic. We make all our money from advertising. We've never made a profit. But like, look at the potential here.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And that is one thing that, like, all these people who are coming from Google to our website, like, we plan on turning them into users.
Mate, like, making it stick here.
Yeah.
And, like, if your mind wanders to how they might do that, it's like, you know, they might gate off. You know the thing where you scroll down a website and then it chucks up a login screen?
Yeah. Like, that's a news website or whatever.
That's the kind of shit that you can imagine happening.
Or Twitter/X, like they did it. It's just like, you now just get a big, you have to log in to X to
see,
view
to see this thing, to see this video, to whatever. So, yeah, there's cheap ways to do it, and there's less cheap ways, but the less cheap ways are real.
A pop-up.
It's hard. It's hard to do it in a way that actually gets people to stick around and engage with the community.
Yeah.
And the other funny thing, this came as part of like the financial results they revealed. There are other things that Reddit's been visibly doing to raise money. You can buy Reddit Gold, which is like the subscription membership, which like gets you a little symbol next to your name and also gets you invited into r/lounge, which is like the Reddit Gold Lounge. It's like it's like being in the chairman's lounge at Qantas.
Oh, yeah.
So just like a higher tier of Reddit user.
Yeah. You get to hang out with high tier Reddit users.
It makes me sick just to think about it.
Yeah. Avatars, obviously. You could buy like weird cool hats.
Yeah. You could buy like NFT-ish. They didn't call them NFTs, but they were basically NFT avatars.
Yeah.
And they basically outlined in the S1, the revenue from Reddit Gold and from our avatar program, negligible.
Negligible, yeah. Negligible.
So, which is pretty brutal. It suggests that it's just made no money.
Yeah. They also said that they held cryptocurrency, again, a negligible amount.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Because they went through like, it feels like a 6-month period of leaning heavily into NFTs and crypto and then just...
It kind of faded. I was sort of like, definitely wasn't bullish on it, but I thought it was interesting that it was the first time a company was really leaning into the NFT thing, but just like not engaging with the NFT culture at all.
Mm.
And they were obviously like, oh, you can get these NFT profile pictures. Like, you get them in various drops. Some of them might be valuable. They might be associated with certain power users or whatever. I didn't think it was good, but I was like, well, they're trying something.
Yeah.
That's trying to attach actual value to something that has previously just been like monkey JPEG avatars. Obviously, this completely did not work.
Yeah.
Because... negligible.
Again, as they said themselves, 98% of revenue is from advertising and from a pretty poor advertising product. And the other form of monetization that they talked about, which is really not fleshed out, is people transact on Reddit. And the example they kept giving was like Photoshop requests or whatever, Photoshop or some crap where like you can pay people to do a Photoshop for you. And they're like, oh, you know, 600,000 Photoshop requests have gone through r/Photoshop requests. Wouldn't it be great if we got a piece of that? Like, we will build tools and for creators and whatnot in order to monetize their digital products, and we see revenue opportunity in that. That's a real wave's hand. It's a real r/Photoshop request? ? ? ? profit.
Yeah. No, I don't. Because there are so many things I can think of. I look at Reddit where I'm like, you could build like a product here. It would make Reddit shitter. It would make the product actively worse and more hostile for its users. For example, like, what if you had paid communities or something? You know, Facebook experimented a bit with this, other places have, where it's like, here's a subreddit where like the real heads on this topic hang out.
Yeah, a down round subreddit, but you had to pay to enter.
You got to pay to enter either through your existing subscription and then Reddit gets a cut. But again, when you think about it, it's like, that's user hostile because all of a sudden you're clicking around Reddit and you land on a subreddit where it's like, pay me to get in here.
Yeah, yeah.
That just defeats the whole purpose of being on there.
Yeah.
And also, when you think about what would be an actual profitable version of that, it'd be like some degenerate fucking sports betting subreddit with guys just pissing their fucking life savings away on the horses or whatever. Again, it doesn't really work. Again, offering a native payments platform for what you were just describing, maybe. Like, there's definitely communities where, you know, imagine, yeah, you could go to r/ fucking, I don't know, hentai requests.
Well, that's the thing. My mind immediately went to, like, I guess you're an OnlyFans competitor, realistically. Yeah,
because this is the other thing, unmentioned in the S1. Yeah,
unmentioned. Like, huge elephant in the room to anyone who's been on Reddit.
How much of Reddit's MDAOs or DAOs are porno?
Yeah. So many, there's so much porn.
There's an unbelievable amount of, apart from Twitter, which still allows it, it's the only like major social media / content platform, which even though it sort of hides it from your average user and puts it under like the NSFW.
It's not going to be an r/all.
It's not going to, you know, if you've set up a Reddit account and go there for the first time, it's not going to chuck
MILFs or whatever.
r/MILFs at you. But it is there, and is if you look at any of those subreddits and look at the number of people who are subscribed, they are, by the numbers, some of the biggest subreddits on the website.
Well, I mean, I saw the other day someone linked on X, I promise, that there's like a subreddit for basically like young women being naked smoking meth. And that had like 100,000 subscribers. And like that's all it was.
I see the ambition. Yeah, like exactly. Like so many bizarre niche porn subreddits would be a huge amount of their consumption. Lots of like copyrighted material on there as well.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't be able to get anywhere else for free.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they vaguely allude to it because they're just like, there could be a huge revolt against Reddit for one reason or another. Because like, let's be frank here. And this is under like advertisers, like, for one reason or another, advertisers could choose to no longer use Reddit as a platform. Yeah. They also outlined, by the way, that 28% of their advertising revenue is from 10 advertisers who are all at one agency. So certainly a key risk there. But say, for example, a child porn subreddit is discovered.
Yeah.
You could see, for example, those 10 advertisers.
Being like, what?
We spend 0.5% of our budget on what?
Yeah, exactly. There is like a subtext to some of their, like, there could be controversy.
Yeah.
And when you think about what kind of controversy has Reddit gone through in the past, we mentioned before like r/jailbait and all those like dubiously legal porn subreddits, which were very controversial like over a decade ago now or about a decade ago. Again, unmentioned the S1, but how much of the use of the site is for, you know, less than savory purposes?
Yeah, totally. I mean, because at the end of the day, this is what it comes down to. The weird and interesting thing about Reddit, which is one reason why it has been kind of its own weird beast, is, like, it's the only one where the communities are created by users and moderated by users, and the rules are imposed by users. Like, even in the case of, like, Facebook or whatever, Facebook makes the moderation decisions, and they have teams of people in low-paying job countries or whatever that have to like scroll through fucking people getting their heads blown off and God knows what.
Yeah.
Point being, like, they set the moderation policies and the decisions, and people get mad at Mark Zuckerberg and whatever. But like, same as YouTube, whatever it is, at the end of the day, and Reddit will say like they do have an overarching moderation policy.
And they do, but they're still enforced by largely.
Yeah, they're largely outsourced it to unpaid moderators, which again, as we kind of outlined, as a big theory of the case of Reddit and that tension, that unrelenting tension, which has once again kind of been brought to a forefront because Redditors are not that happy about this S1 and them going public, is this huge disconnect by the fact that the executive remuneration and people talking about billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars or millions of dollars of compensation and this, that, and the other, and talking about stocks and finance and the unpaid labor of the perverts who moderate subreddits.
That makes the site technically function. Yeah, because you're right. And like, you know, there's a lot of overlap between what Reddit says are their overarching rules, like that are sort of like universe level that every subreddit must abide by, and also kind of like what every subreddit would enforce anyway. Like not, a lot of them aren't going to let people post illegal pornography, like because they don't want that and ask historians anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. Like it's literally just like a federation of all different sorts of communities, some less savory than others, some very, very serious, some extremely not serious, which I will say, like as much as I've like ragged on Reddit for various amusing reasons for this thing, is good. I like Reddit.
I like Reddit too.
Like, you know, I will go on, it's one of the few sites where I will go to like reddit.com, look at my feed of all the subreddits I subscribe to, and I'll scroll through. And, you know, I'll...
Yeah, and it is useful. It comes up a lot when, you know, I do a lot of smart home bullshit.
Yeah.
For smart home bullshit, which is bullshit, it's, let's be frank, it's still a hobby.
Yeah, but everyone who is into smart home stuff is
when
on Reddit.
You've got a question about fucking, you know, connecting this and that and how to make your infrared hub work, there's going to be discussions on Reddit constantly that I go to understand this like niche little thing because they're setting their home up the same way I am.
Yeah.
And like it's very useful.
Yeah.
And like, but that's a product of it being the old web and it never fully trying to monetize.
I never truly trying to become like a never ending sort of content spigot, like everything.
Like why is it not Facebook groups that are like that? Why isn't it like Facebook smart home groups that I'm getting linked to? Because it never happened because the incentives were different.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff that has worked on other platforms, like the live streaming, there's like the Reddit Live thing, which does not seem to be widely used. And where it is used, it's for like very specific, very Reddit things.
Yeah, that was like a COVID phenomenon.
It was a COVID thing that sort of hung over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, like it, to its credit, I think, has like a user base who are very, very militantly against
change.
And like Facebook users can't be against change.
Yeah.
Facebook's just like, hey, your entire feed is just weird staged prank videos of like husbands and wives pretending they're cheating on each other.
Yeah.
And that's just your entire feed.
Yeah.
And that's all you're going to see for 3 months.
Yeah.
And we are now $150 billion richer.
Yeah.
Reddit just can't get away with that because its entire audience be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I came here to see industrial accidents in Pakistan.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I am shutting down the subreddit in protest.
I'm literally affecting your bottom line because I'm pissed off.
Which is why you end up with 55 pages of risks.
Of risk, yeah.
Because it's like, we can't control anything that happens on our site. We've never made a profit. We've got a bunch of good ideas, we reckon, but there's absolutely no guarantee that any of them will happen.
Yep.
But we would love your investment.
But at the end of the day, our investors need an exit.
Yeah. At the end of the day, Condé Nast has owned us for ages and Sam Altman has got like his thing going and he's like, get it live.
Yeah. Basically, the vast majority of my Steve Huffman CEO compensation is in options and stock. I need to be rewarded for putting up with this for so long.
Yeah. So like, I guess let's go.
Let's fucking go, folks.
So, personal opinion, again, not financial advice. No. It's not the kind of company that I would invest in.
No.
I wish it all the best. I definitely foresee it getting worse from a user perspective.
It will get worse from a user perspective. I don't see the growth vector here.
Mm.
I see a website with a very, very large, relatively user base who are very passionate about certain things and very passionate, many of them quite passionate about Reddit.
Mm.
But I don't see over the hill 100 million new Reddit users.
Yes.
Who are about to flood in and make it an X amount more vibrant thing. Yes, they may be able to wring some extra value out of the users they have and the natural growth that comes with platforms.
Reddit is subscale. At the end of the day, Reddit is subscale. Again,
18-year-old business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. So a big subreddit is a few million people, right? Like a big subreddit. And it is the place where communities will go. There will be, yes, a husband and wife cheating prank that was a Facebook Live that happened 3 days ago that's got 125 million views on Facebook.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's weird to say. It gets a lot of hits. It gets a lot of traffic. But at the end of the day, like, it's subscale. It's hard to monetize a platform that only gets tens or hundreds of millions of views a month.
Yeah, and there's no, I mean, again, in the S1, they're like, oh, we might be able to expand into other languages and countries that aren't currently using Reddit a lot. And you're like, okay,
That'll go well.
Sure, maybe. Even though I would say it's one of the most aggressively English language social media platforms.
And also countries outside of...
And American. It's an American...
It's American. Yeah, but, and it's hard to... Like, those users monetize at a lot lower rates. Like, you don't... That was a classic meme from like 10 years ago. Yeah. It's like, we're going to expand into India. There's a billion people. And it's like, and you're not going to make any money off them.
Yeah, exactly. Like the return from your ads is going to be vastly, vastly lower. Mm. So that's real, like, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, unless you can be Facebook and so deeply integrate yourself into Indian life that the scale really plays off. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it looks amazing to me. But... You know, all I can hope is that Reddit will stay as a place where human-generated content and community continues to happen.
Yeah.
I think, like, they're going to be a going concern as long as that happens. I don't think they're going to be a blockbuster stock or whatever.
Mm.
But for my own benefit, I hope they continue to do that. And it doesn't become so shitty from just, like, extractive money thing. And I also hope that their gambit to, like, get stock in the hands of their power users helps to keep... sort of like the agnostic investors who don't give a shit about Reddit from like totally dominating the conversation, right?
Yeah, I think that regardless of what happens, anyone who is a majority shareholder in Reddit is going to say, show me the money.
Totally.
Like work out, you need to work out now how to make profit.
No, I agree.
And the only way to do that is to increase the ad load. Realistically, all this other bullshit is not going to happen. We know that. Like, I mean, yeah, they might find an extra kind of 100 million here or there for like, from the API, maybe, from LLMs, maybe, like possibly, but the only way to actually increase your bottom line, become a profitable business is to increase the ad load. That is literally the only way. Increase the ad load, increase users.
Yep.
And God knows how you increase users. That's a pretty tough question.
I think that ship has sailed, at least on it happening on like a substantial ongoing basis.
In a zeitgeist of potentially them getting less traffic over the next kind of 5 years driven from Google. Tough. Yeah. As I said, do your own research. Maybe that. Also, it could pop on the first day. You never know.
Yeah.
There could be some meme thing here. People have heard of Reddit.
But yeah, people have heard of Reddit. I mean, and they're very online and they're very engaged. So, maybe we'll they'll have the last laugh.
Mm. We'll revisit at the end of the year, maybe.
$1 trillion company by July. What do you think?
What they need to do is start building their own chips.
They need to build a Reddit facility staffed by Reddit moderators where they build cutting edge.
Imagine this. So right now the moderators are working for free, right?
Yep.
To moderate.
Yep.
What if instead of moderating, they were running a fab and we still didn't pay them?
What if we said to them, I'm just spitballing, Steve Hoffman, if you're listening, love your work. What if we said to them, we will pay you in Reddit Karma to design and manufacture cutting edge CPUs on American soil?
Chip sacks, baby. If you're listening to this, you are not subscribed to Downround Premium. If you were subscribed to Downround Premium, you would be getting a second episode a week. You wouldn't be hearing this. You wouldn't be hearing any other ads either. If you go to downround.net, you can sign up right now, get access to the whole back catalog, extra episode a week, no ads, $7 a month. Pretty good deal, James.
Spectacular deal, Ralph.